Hello, recovery fam. Welcome back to the Unashamed Recovery Podcast, where we believe there is healing in the story of our scars and that it is okay to not be okay.
It is our mission to break the shame and stigma of addiction in recovery by sharing real stories of real addiction from real people in real recovery and real sobriety.
We share stories straight out the pit, stories of hope.
I'm your host, Josh.
I'm your co-host, Drew.
And I put the fun in dysfunctional. I'm Palmer.
And roll that intro.
The Unashamed Recovery Podcast.
That's how it's
the
done.
The Unashamed Recovery Podcast. The Unashamed Recovery Podcast with Josh, Drew, and Palmer starts now.
And this is episode 63, Choices Equal Consequences.
It's a great title, Josh. Who wrote that one?
I did.
We got to give credit where credit's due.
I did.
Drew finally came through on one.
I came through on the last four.
The man in the middle.
And today's episode verse, and I know we haven't had an episode verse in quite some time.
What is an episode verse?
But today's episode verse comes from Colossians 3:25. And that verse is, "For the wrongdoer will be paid back for whatever wrong he has done, and there is no favoritism." Another way of saying it, because that's from the Christian Standard, another version of that says, "He who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality." So how about that?
That's rough, man. I mean, that's I didn't even think about that verse when we were discussing this topic because well, I don't know that verse, but we know somebody. I know somebody who is going through a situation where, look, they're clean and sober from their addiction,
right?
And this person, this gentleman, wouldn't mind me telling the story. We're obviously not going to speak into anybody's names. That person can tell their own story and put their name on it, you know, if they want to. But for us, we're just going to tell the story because it leads to this conversation.
And we like to give people names as per Maddie's episode. So on this episode, we're just going to call this gentleman
Eric.
Eric. We'll go with Eric.
We'll go with Eric.
It's a good solid name.
I know some Erics, but not one that has anything like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, you know, I was talking to Eric the other day, and he was telling me how, you know, he his story is kind of like mine and yours. You know, like, I didn't cheat on my wife, but has a sex addiction, right? And apparently he did cheat on his wife, and now his wife works with the person that he cheated on his wife with.
Oh,
and so,
man.
Ooh.
And so where had everything was starting to go right in the marriage, now there's that thorn in the side of the marriage because, you know, the wife has to work with the person that the husband cheated on, Eric cheated on his wife with. You know, we'll call her Karen. So Eric cheated on his wife Brittany with Karen, and now Karen and Brittany have to work together every single day. So you can imagine that things are very awkward at Eric and Brittany's house.
There's a lot of tension
and,
there, too.
And I imagine that has put a halt on certain things inside the marriage.
Yeah, I would imagine that mama's not giving it up very much anymore because she has to look at little Miss Karen's face.
Yeah. You know? They constantly have to eyeball the mistake. That would just be like having to stare shame.
Well, it would literally
add it all over again, you know.
So it would literally be like us setting drugs or meth right here on the table in front of you.
And me having to sit here and just go
and just stare at it. And just, you know, no matter how much you try to look away and think about your new life.
I wonder if I have to suffer consequences like due to the fact of my job, if thinking about it, because working in a restaurant, I'm constantly having to see a bar, you know. Can't drink the alcohol.
So, okay, side note, we'll go there for just a second. Was alcohol one of your...
Oh, big... absolutely.
Okay, well then, yeah, I would say that you should take your behind out of a restaurant.
Well, no, because I mean, at this point, I mean, it's paying all my bills.
I get it.
I can't just run.
I got a friend back home that his dad had died, left the restaurant to him and his younger brother, and he went off the deep end because his dad had died and started drinking, started gambling, and basically he peed away the business.
Right.
And now he's back in the restaurant business, but like when he had an actual restaurant, the facility,
right,
he was in it. He made sure it was in an area that didn't allow alcohol because he didn't want to go through all that again. He knew that his calling was cooking, but
right,
didn't want to be back around that because you don't want to be tempted by that. So,
and I mean, with Drew,
to me, I know the consequences of me having one sip of alcohol. Not even like one, people who wouldn't drink, no, one sip of alcohol will have dire consequences, and I don't want to relive those again.
Be running naked down the road like
Maddie's it's, you know, once too many, a thousand's never enough kind of situation. That one sip would lead to an entire bottle. That entire bottle would lead to me going to jail. I mean, it's a food allergy at this point.
What's that? meme on Facebook talking about how you go and drink at the party and go home and pass out. I go drink at the party and I'm going up homeless.
Yeah. Yeah, or I'm going straight to jail. Like, I mean, that's just
straight to jail.
That's the end of it.
But, you know, you're at a point in your recovery where you can do that. That's like earlier last year we talked with Stacy, who had the food addiction. And Stacy is now at a point in her journey where she can serve her main food that she had a problem with. She can serve that at the church functions.
And not even
and not be bothered by it.
She's so much better than I am.
All right, so
I'm joining CR for food. I'm
so let's get back to Eric, yes, Brittany, and all right, Karen.
We got way off topic.
Eric, Brittany, and Karen.
Sorry about that.
So the whole point of us talking about this and naming this, you know, choices equal consequences, is what it just kind of came to me that I want our listeners and I want people that are in recovery to know that no matter what you did when you were an addict, when you were in the middle of your addiction, in the middle of the pit, or at the bottom of the pit, those actions still have consequences. You can find Jesus, you can find
recovery,
and completely be healed and ready changed. To move on, completely changed. That doesn't mean that you don't still have to go through your consequences. You know, like if you rob somebody while you were in addiction and now you have completely changed, you still may end up going to jail.
Yeah.
You know, God never said, Jesus never said, like, look, just because you finally changed doesn't mean that you don't have to pay for your sins. In fact, that's exactly what that verse says.
But what he did say is, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That does not mean that that weapon will not hit you
or form
you or even be there. Right. You know, it is formed. It is there to attack you. But at the same time, it won't be your demise.
Yeah.
You know, as long as I think we follow biblical principles and statutes, that, yeah, those weapons, those things that are, those consequences that we have to face, we're going to face them. But I mean, it's just like facing a fear.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you don't stare it in the face and have to deal with it a little bit, I mean, let God do the most with it.
Right.
But if you don't deal with it a little bit, it's going to always linger. It's always going to be a form of denial. Causing some form of anxiety. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, because we're in steps right now. I'm doing step study again. But and we're on denial right now. And just talking about denial, that seems to
That's
me,
a river in Egypt?
No. Oh. No. No.
Are you sure?
I promise.
Okay.
What's funny is I made mention of that.
He did. He did.
Must be a white dad joke.
Can we have a serious moment?
y'all have had a lot of serious moments, and then you hired me.
I know.
And it all went downhill from there. So I get what you're saying. Like, you know, even if you're, if we take it from a more realistic, I mean, Eric's situation is generally not going to happen. You know what I mean? Like if you're a drug addict,
right,
or an alcoholic, you know what I mean? That situation is not going to happen. So let's pivot for just a second and kind of give it to the listeners that are recovering from drugs and alcohol. And like I said, whatever you did while you were in that addiction can still come back to have you pay for that, those choices. So It's all about, like I said, we're using example of somebody robbed somebody when they were in the middle of addiction. You know, they, let's say they bailed out of jail, right? And while they were out of jail, waiting on the trial or whatever, they find Jesus or they find recovery at AA, NA, whatever. That doesn't mean that that trial is not coming up.
Right.
That doesn't mean that God doesn't know that, like, hey, I know.
You're going to have to go through this.
Right. But yeah. How it's like y'all have said plenty of times, you know, people that have actually been to prison, you do the time. You don't let the time do you.
Yep.
And so if you go into that situation, you are doing the time. You're not letting the time do you, and you are taking that time to say, okay, here's what I did wrong. I've already changed, but now I'm here, and God knew I was going to be here. So how can I use this to glorify him? That is a whole, you know, that's the way you need to be looking at your consequences. You don't need to be looking at it as, okay, well, God, I came to you. I'm assuming, because we're a faith-based recovery podcast, right? So I'm assuming that if you're listening to this, you're probably like us. So
there are people that are not, though, that listen.
I know,
which is okay. And we love them. Yeah, that's, and we're glad too. They listen.
But what I'm saying is, like, so if I'm in that situation and I'm going into jail, God's not going to be like, okay, oh, well, you found me and we're starting to have a relationship, so let me go ahead and move this mountain of prison. He might. You may get to your hearing. Yeah, your hearing, and it get thrown out or whatever. And by the grace of God, thank you so much.
But you still got to face it.
That's right. You still got to face it. And it's what you do with it that matters. So, you know, with this Eric and Karen and Brittany situation, it's definitely hard for Brittany. You know, she's the wife that was cheated on. I would assume it's not comfortable for Karen, you know, if she knows who Brittany is. And it's definitely not comfortable for Eric.
Right.
You know, because, you know, he's in full-blown sobriety for many years. So, you know, it's got to be hard for Eric, Brittany, and Karen completely, because, you know, Brittany and Karen are in the same, you know, field, career field. And so now their paths have crossed. And, you know, Eric's kind of stuck in the middle of, like, hey, I've paid for this.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I almost lost my family over this. I have repented. I've paid the price. And now here it is. It's coming back and rearing its ugly head. And it's like, God,
we done got past this.
Yeah, like, God, right? why are you forsaking me? And God's up there going, I ain't forsake you. It's just, I think in this situation, it's more of like, okay, how are you and Brittany going to get through this? Like,
are y'all going to grow closer to me in this, or are y'all going to grow more separate and further away from me?
Right.
You know, that's then that's the challenge. When we're facing consequences, right. How much are we actually going to rely on God, or are we going to try to rely on our own devices? You know, I think there's been some times where I've had to face some consequences and literally try to rely on my own thought process. That never works out.
Ever. Never.
Never does.
So, Josh, I know that you kind of have the same type of story as Eric does. So, like, what are your thoughts and your feelings on all of this?
Well, you know, just to backpedal just a little bit, Drew was talking about growing closer to God and relying on God. Now, there is a very particular season that me and my wife went through almost immediately after me and her went through our trial. You know, for those that don't know, you know, I was in a porn and sex addiction that led to adultery on my wife, and my wife stayed. And a year after all that happened, me and my wife had our second daughter. And when she was born, almost immediately after she was born, she went into the hospital because she wouldn't eat and had to have a feeding tube put in. And I can remember there was another guy that was in my CR group at that time who was further along than me. He struggled with porn and sex addiction. He was in recovery for it, and he had a daughter, very bad off. She had a very rare medical condition. She was wheelchair bound, couldn't talk, anything like that. Very bad off. And he spoke a lot about how he lived in fear that she was the consequence of his sin, that she was the way she was because of what he had done in secrecy.
So pause right there. Do you think that? Like, I've always wondered, like, what other Christians would...
Well, how, and that's what I was just about to
like
get to.
Like, if that they feel like that's right, a right. consequence for something that they did wrong. Yeah.
So that's what I was just about to get to.
Sorry.
No, that's all good. I had always, when I had heard him talk about that, I had always thought this is nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But then my daughter's born. She's not eating. She's getting this feeding tube put in. I mean, she's like a month old, 2 months old. And the thought hits me. This is like the other guy.
Like what Jimmy said.
Yeah, I was like, this is...
I love giving people names.
I see.
I was like, this is my consequence. I was like, here's me paying for what I did. And I've never been one to carry a grudge or anger against God. But in that time, man, it was such a season of unknown that I was carrying a little bit of a grudge against God. I was like, you know, I understand I messed up, but how could you do this?
Right.
And man, I remember that season being so hard because, I mean, this was unknown territory. For months, doctors couldn't give us an answer. We had no clue why our newborn wasn't eating. And it's just, she was so happy. She is not anything like she is today. She was a very happy baby, like very joyful. Like she was always smiling.
This must be Sadie Grace.
Yes, it was Sadie Grace.
That's what I thought.
She's always happy and smiling around me, Josh.
She's planning your death.
She is feigning to catch you off guard so she can attack. But the doctors, man, we took her for all these different tests. And doctors couldn't tell us nothing. Like, just the no answers were more of a problem than the actual problem. It's like, right. We want to know why, and we couldn't get a why.
Right.
Because as soon as you get the answer, it's like, okay, now we have a direction.
Yeah. And we
when
didn't
you don't
have
a direction, you feel very lost and confused. And that does cause, you know, like, resentment towards God because, like, it's like especially when it comes to our children, like, why would we be going through this?
Yeah.
Right.
And so I'm taking it as a direct result. Okay, me and my family are going through this because of me. Like, I was carrying so much guilt. Like,
right.
I can't describe to you how much guilt I carried. And I cannot sit here and lie and say that the thought of suicide didn't cross my mind during the time, thinking that that was the only way out of this, that was how I was going to get out of it.
Right.
Oh, because it did. It crossed my mind more than once. But finally, in March, we found a doctor who was with, because that was the problem. She was so young that no doctor really wanted to do surgery. We finally found a doctor that was willing to do surgery on her. And they go in there and they're like, look, this is going to be about a 2-hour procedure. She's so young. She's so little. And this surgery is so long and she's going to be under for so long that there's a good chance that she may not make it out.
Right.
But it was a chance that we took because it was like we got to know.
Right. Well, if she doesn't eat, she ain't going to make it out anyway.
Yeah,
so.
Right. And so they did the surgery. This 2-hour surgery wound up taking 30 minutes. So she wasn't under long.
Heck yeah.
They were worried that they were only going to be able to get like maybe 1 or 2 samples to be able to send off. I think they got like 30. And then they're like, okay, we're going to go put her in recovery, and she's going to be in recovery until she just wakes up. She was in recovery for 20 minutes, woke up. She came out of there, and they're like, all right, well, she's here in the hospital for this weekend. We're just going to see if she'll eat. We're going to take the tube out. We'll see if she'll eat. Started eating. Been eating ever since.
She won't stop.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now, don't get me wrong.
Now she eats everything in the house.
Well no, that's the other baby.
No, I'm just...
But Sadie is now at the point where I call her my camel because, like, she'll go 4 days without eating, then she'll spend 1 day just nonstop eating, like she's tanking up for to spend 4 days not eating. But
I wish it worked that way.
But right. Anyway, but she started eating. And what I found through that process We grew closer together in that process through prayer and through this leaning on each other and leaning on God. And I do not think that we would be here today trying to recover from a infidelity and trying to recover from that. I don't think we would have made it if it wouldn't have been that situation pushing me and her closer together. And I saw this diagram a while back, and it was the perfect picture because it was basically a triangle, and it was God at the top, husband, wife on the corners. And it was, as you grow closer to God, you're just inevitably going to grow closer together, because as you go up on your side to God and the other person's going toward God, you're getting closer together yourself.
Right.
And I was like, that's it. That is what happened in our marriage, is we were relying so much on prayer and God in that time. And it was this way of God just reminding me at the end of it, when we got to the end of it, it was just this kind of this reminder of God saying, this wasn't your fault. Things just happen. And to come out of that and realize, okay, yes, I may have some consequences that come down the road, but this wasn't mine. It tremendous weight came off my shoulders.
Yeah, but it's almost like, in the same sense, like with this Eric situation, like, he did have consequences, you know?
Right.
I mean, obviously, his wife, just like your wife, stayed, but, you know, could have lost, you know, almost lost it all.
Yeah.
What was you about to say?
No, I was just saying, now the consequence is, you know, the elephant in the room.
Yeah, now we got another consequence, and that's just so hard. So, listening to your story, made me want to ask two questions. First question is, did you pray together? Pray separately?
Both.
Okay. Because like, I do believe that is the key, yes, right there.
Yes. We prayed a whole lot separately on our own.
Right.
But we also prayed together.
Right. And I will 100% admit that one of my biggest struggles is praying with my wife.
Like, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. That's basically what I was going to say is, like, you know, it's for whatever reason, like, we just, I don't feel like we're on the same. So my pastor Jim, because every time you say Pastor Jim, I'm like, he didn't say that. No. My pastor here at the Point, Jim Taylor, says, you know, he's like, if you're a Christian and your wife is a Christian, you're both like on the treadmill in the same room, but you may be running faster than the other one, or she may be running faster than her. Y'all are still on, y'all still going the same direction. You're still on the same path. You're still on, you're both seeking God, but one of you might not be as far along as the other.
Yeah.
And that's definitely how I feel about my relationship with God versus my wife's relationship with God. I could be completely wrong. She could be way far ahead of me and I just don't know it. Maybe that's why she just doesn't pray with me. But, you know, I just don't feel like we're on the same level. And so if like finding, I just have a hard time, like both of us have a hard time just like sitting down, just praying together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
About anything.
Well, now I will say, me and the wife have not sat down together and prayed together in quite some time, but during that particular season, we did. And
I think that's something
and I think that's how we got through it.
I think that's something that, you know, as the three of us, you know, all have wives and all have struggles. Yes, believe it or not, you're listening to a podcast full of broken people who still struggle. You know, I've said it many times from the stage as a worship leader, like, just because you're up here on the stage, or just because you're the one leading the podcast or leading the worship or leading the service, doesn't mean that you don't have any problems. So please do not look at our podcast and go, oh, well, they all have it together.
Right.
No.
I have a saying at RCR, like, just because I'm the ministry leader of Celebrate Recovery does not mean that I don't need Celebrate Recovery. Like, I participate just as much as the newcomer.
That's right.
Because I need this too.
A lot of preachers will be like, I'm preaching to me today. It's y'all get to listen, but I'm preaching to me. Yeah. So I would say for the three of us, that should probably be something that we vow to start doing more, is to pray with our wives, you know, no matter what the season is, you know. assuming that, you know, I don't know y'all's full-on relationship. We don't talk about, you know, that all the time. So, but I would say that if you are in a situation where, like, you know, things are rough or whatever, like, yes, you need to be praying. Your partner needs to be praying. But if at all possible, you know, start praying together. My second question was, which, you know, you kind of answered it, but it's odd that this conversation is going this way, because me and my dad just had the same exact conversation. You know, you sit there and say that, you know, that guy really, you know, blame God, you know, like, why, or, you know, you're doing this because I screwed up. And you felt the exact same way, right? You're doing this because I screwed up.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people in, like, let's just say Sodom and Gomorrah, who didn't make it because other people screwed up. So because the Old Testament has a God, quote-unquote God, that's not quote-unquote God, but a God that's quote-unquote wrathful, and he did show his wrath in the Old Testament. Yeah. Do you believe that God?
But it was always for what? The greater good.
Right, right. I'm not saying he didn't have a reason. Like, yeah. he was doing the right thing. But do you believe God is showing his wrath on people when like, okay, I know you answered it personally. Like, your daughter was born sick, and, you know, you thought, okay, God's showing his wrath on me by punishing my kid, you know, making her this way. So what's y'all's thought? I mean, is God still showing his wrath?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that all things good come from God. I'm going to say that. No?
No, he didn't say only all things good. He said all things good come from God. Yeah. We're not having this fight again.
But here's my thoughts on it. When we
not on air.
When we take flesh and blood out of it, it's really a spiritual thing. Like, imagine God's given you this brand new life. Who hates that the most?
The devil.
Yeah. So what's he going to do? He's going to create circumstances and consequences that you're going to have to face over the choices that you made. Even though you're trying to do the right thing, he's going to try to drag you backwards. So, I mean, I know a lot of these situations, we're looking at it as flesh and blood people. This person's doing this. This is what's happening here. These circumstances. Now I'm stuck in a flesh and blood circumstance where I'm having to face flesh and blood consequences, but it's really a spiritual thing.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Where God's really trying to either allow this attack to happen so you can grow greater spiritually.
Right.
Because it's a battle. All of it's a battle.
I was about to say, like, this whole situation with Eric, to me, does not look like a flesh and blood situation.
No, it's more of a spiritual thing.
The devil truly knows, we could get real theological, and we'll bring Jennifer back for all that, but it's not really the devil himself, Satan himself, that's messing with you. It's his minions that he allows. But, you know, in the grand scheme of thing, we'll just call it, you know, the enemy. So the enemy sees that, okay, you have been, Eric has been sober for, you know, X amount of years or whatever, even X amount of months, you know, it doesn't really matter. And then, but he is completely changed. And then he's like, you know, the enemy's like, okay, you're doing way too much for the kingdom. Let me see if I can disrupt this.
So it's nefarious all over again.
Yeah.
It's the tiny subjugations to say yes to this, get angry at this. I mean, every time you plug in a yes to something that's on a demonic scheme,
right?
I mean, you're basically giving your life right back over to the vices that you just got away from, because they're always out to get you. That's why I was asking. It's kind of like seeing your chains all over again.
Right.
Just as long as you don't let them entrap you.
Right.
I mean, you can walk by. I could walk by snakes all day long. It's, you know, I'd probably be scared to death because that's one of my greatest fears. But if I walk far enough away from it, it's just an observation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that means I'm walking to something else, another direction.
Right.
I'm walking to something greater than what is the issue right here. That's why I'm saying, you know, lean not on your own understanding, but believe in what God's telling you.
Right. That's why so many people have the same story that I do. Like, so I was baptized with my oldest daughter on Easter, and the very next week was like the hardest week
every time
I've ever gone through. And the reason is like, okay, when you're walking with the world, when you're walking with the enemy, why is he ain't got no reason to mess with you? But the minute you said, you know what, I'm going to go walk with God. He's like, really?
Well, you know.
I bet you don't.
What let me see. What happened in the Bible after Jesus was publicly baptized? Do you remember?
Yeah, he went into the wilderness to be tempted.
Who called him into the wilderness to be tempted?
The Holy Spirit did.
The Holy Spirit.
Yep.
40 days immediately after the baptism. I don't think that's a coincidence.
No, that's the forging of the Spirit at that point.
Like that.
I'd have had to go right back into the water.
I mean, but honestly, that's the forging of the Spirit.
I've been out there a day.
That's the strengthening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And sometimes, imagine like lifting weights. And I know this is talked about when we're talking about faith, but imagine lifting weights. I mean, you have to break down muscle in order for it to build up. You know what I'm saying? So spiritually, you're going to get tore down before you're built back up. Yeah. I mean, that's just how it has to go because that's where you find your strength. I mean, look at runners. You know, they completely.
You can tell, nobody at this table runs.
No.
I'm more of a fighter, not a runner.
That's why I observe from a distance.
Not me. I'm like, look, I'm not even running if something's chasing me. I'm not. I'm not doing it.
If you see me running.
You better run. But I'm not going to run, so you should probably just go ahead and run anyway if you see other people running.
Okay, so we're not running.
I'm not.
All right, do you want me to go ahead and answer your question about what I think?
Yeah, what do you think about wrath these days?
Well, we'll find out right after we take this commercial break and hear word from our wonderful sponsors.
He's getting real good at that. We'll be back.
Unashamed Recovery Podcast is heard around the world in over 42 countries, including over 780 cities. Right here in the United States, people all around the world are hearing the message of the hope of recovery from addiction, and that's because of listeners just like you who donate, but also because of our local sponsors. Sponsors like D's Automotive in Meridian, Mississippi, serving the East Central Mississippi and West Alabama areas for over 42 years. D's is a name you can trust when it comes to your vehicle for all your complete car needs. And service, and towing, and car unlocks, that's D's Automotive. Go by and see Miss Jeannie, Mike, and the boys at 5024 Poplar Springs Drive. That's 5024 Poplar Springs Drive in Meridian, Mississippi. Or give them a call at 601-482-1800. That's 601-482-1800. And tell them that Josh, Drew, and Palmer sent you. Now back to your normally scheduled programming right here on the Unashamed Recovery Podcast.
And we're back. And so, Josh, right before we went to a break, you were going to give me your thoughts on God's wrath these days. You know, is God still showing his wrath, or has that been paid for? So what's your thoughts?
It's a good question. We'll answer that question on the next episode of the Unashamed Recovery Podcast. Thank you for listening.
Episode 2.
I think, and this is just my personal belief, I think that wrath has been paid for. I think what we see nowadays is more so a example of free will.
You know, yeah, example of fallen world.
Yeah, like what we see today, you know, it's a consequence of free will.
Yeah.
You can't open up the news and not get depressed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's headline after headline after headline of some just the most horrible things and examples of what humans can do to humans. Like it's, but in that, I don't think I've ever asked myself, well, God, why did you allow this?
Right.
Or God, what are you doing? I mean, because it's free will. God gave us free will to be able to worship him if we want to. That same free will is going to do bad. And, I mean, you see examples of miracles all the time. You see the outcome of God stepping in and intervening. But they're miracles because they don't happen that often. They're very far, few in between. And I think the rest of it is what's left from free will.
Yeah.
I think what we went through with Sadie Grace as a baby, I don't think it had anything to do with me.
Right. or mom.
I think, and listeners may completely disagree with me on this, I think I could have lived my life never once ever looking at porn, never once getting a sex addiction, being completely fine, and me and my wife would have still had a steady grace, and she still would have went through that.
As Christians, we all, you know, we should all know the story of how the world is falling. You know, Adam and Eve in the garden, Eve eats from the fruit from the tree that she's not supposed to. She shares it with her husband, Adam. And, you know, later on in the day, in the cool of the day, it says that, you know, when God comes trying to find Adam and Eve, they're hiding because they realize they're naked. But it was from free will. You know, I mean, she had the choice. She could have told the snake, the serpent, the dragon, whatever it was, to buzz off. Instead, you know, she's like, that apple does look good, or mango, or whatever was on the tree.
Mango.
I'm just throwing things out
but
there.
But then we had to pay the consequences.
Yeah, then we had to pay the consequences.
That choice equaled another consequence.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Is like, I know if it may feel as you listen to this episode that we're kind of getting off point, but the whole point that we're getting to is that choices equal consequences. Yep. Now,
and we're not outside
of those consequences. Yeah, I mean, I tell my kids all the time, you know, there is a consequence to your actions. It could be a good consequence, it could be a bad consequence, you know. Yep. Depends on your action. And even though as a Christian, Eric is a Christian, and even though Eric is a Christian and Brittany is a Christian, and they've come back together, they pray together, they have a great relationship now, that doesn't mean that the enemy won't step in and say, okay, hey, remember when? And let me see what's going to happen now. We throw Karen back in the mix. You know, now Brittany and Karen have to work together every single day. And it's probably very awkward for both of them,
Eric suffers the consequences.
Yeah, and Eric gets to suffer the consequences of his actions from way back then.
And, you know, and when you were saying that, it made me think about something that we may not even realize. Don't get discouraged in that, because if you're going through something like that, and that, you know, you're in a similar situation, and you've put in all this effort and growth, and you've done the work over all these years, and then something like this happens, don't let it offset you. Don't let it bring you down, discourage right. you. Don't let it undo all the work that you've put into it over the years.
Yeah, Jesus said rejoice in the fact that you're being tested. Rejoice in the fact that people don't like you, because they didn't like me. And right. why would we think that we're any better than Jesus? What you got there, Drew? I know you were about to jump in.
Oh, I was... reading this thing where it says basically that I only suffer the consequences. It's easy to dodge our responsibilities, but we cannot dodge the consequences of dodging our responsibilities. Nobody ever did or ever will escape the consequences of his or her choices. Men, women who are in earnest are not afraid of their consequences.
Amen.
So when you're being true to self or true to God,
right,
there's nothing to fear when it comes down to consequence. But if you're outside of God's will, making choices, you got everything to fear.
Yeah, so let's take God out of it for a second for the listeners that are not faith-based, right? Just because you have fully recovered doesn't mean that you won't have to pay the consequences of what you did while you were not recovered, or before you became recovered.
Right.
So now it's what you do after that matters, okay? So you have fully recovered, you're no longer drinking anymore, you're no longer doing drugs anymore, whatever your addiction was. But you did something that's going to cause you to go to jail. So when you go to jail, are you going to partake in the drugs that are around? That's your choice. You know, you have to face that. You're going to get drunk off the hooch made in prison? You know, that is a choice that you are allowed to make. You know, it's how you decide to react. You know, God's like, you know, okay, we're taking God out of it. Sorry. It's still, how are you going to react with your consequences?
Right.
You know, if we go back to the original situation that we're talking about with Eric and Brittany, you know, are they going to allow this to split them up? Are they going to allow this to take them? So as Josh was talking about the triangle, are they going to allow it to take them back down the sides of the triangle, take them away from each other, make them grow apart?
Right.
Or are they going to say, okay, this situation sucks. It does. We never planned on this. We didn't think this would ever happen. It never crossed our mind that I would be facing the lover of my husband. I never thought that. So how does Brittany decide to handle it? You know, will she allow this to, you know, come between them again? Or does she say, you know what, this is the enemy trying to attack my family again, and I'm rebuking that. I'm right. saying out loud, you know what, I don't care. I don't care that I have to see this woman every single day.
Right.
I don't. I'm going to take this situation, and I'm going to make sure that my family stays my family, and that my family stays centered at God. Now, that's because they're, you know, Christians, but even in this situation, if you're not a faith believer, are you going to allow this to take you away from your family? Are you going to allow this to destroy your family? Or are you going to say, you know what? No, we've been through this. We already paid these consequences. This is just, if you're not a believer in Christ, this is just life trying to throw me a curveball. If you are a believer in Christ, this is the enemy trying to attack me.
Right.
Either way, you have a choice to make, and your choice equals consequences, good consequences or bad consequences.
Yeah.
So what if we looked at it as there are no rewards or punishments, but only the consequences of our choices? So if we're making good choices, we get great consequences.
Right. Make
terrible choices, you get terrible consequences.
Yeah.
I mean, it's your choice.
I mean, it's different verbiage, but it's still the same.
But there's that free will one more time.
Yeah, exactly.
You had the free will to choose what your consequences will look like. But yes, whenever we've made the outdated choices or past life choices, yes, they might bleed into our new life.
Yeah, sometimes they still will come back to bite you in the bottom.
Right.
You know, doesn't matter if you've, you know, you thought God took you out of these consequences, like, let's say, you know, go back to the theft situation. You robbed somebody, you somehow got away with it, and, you know, you never got punished, quote-unquote punished for it. Well, then, you know, months later or years later, whatever the case may be, the law decides to come back and, you know, rectify the situation, and you end up back in prison for a while. You know, are you going to let that break your relationship with God? I would hope not.
Some do. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and does that cause you to relapse?
Oh, yeah.
And some do.
Yeah.
What we're here trying to say is, like, yes, your choices equal consequences, but how are you going to respond to those consequences? And we're asking you, we're hoping that you take away from this episode that it does not allow you to relapse. It doesn't allow you to go back to the situations, you know. I mean, it'd be very easy for somebody like Eric to be like, you know, I wouldn't imagine that he's going to go back to Karen because Karen works with Brittany. But it would be very easy for Eric to be like, man, this situation sucks. And it's now causing a rift in my family. And I'm going to go back to what I was doing before then. You know, I'll go back to watching porn. I'll go back to sleeping around or whatever the case may be.
Or we could throw in a third option and, you know, it could start causing so much stress and start causing a division. And Eric's like, hey, I don't want this. I worked too hard for this.
Yeah.
He goes and gets a contract killer, puts out a hit on Karen, takes it out, does away with the problem.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen it happen on, you know, 48 or whatever the case may be. I mean, that's, I know by the look on your face that you're being funny, but that is an option that people have chose to make happen.
Yes, that was not a serious response. That was That was high level sarcasm for all those that are listening.
Right. But I mean, especially when we're dealing with a spiritual battle, anything is possible. You know what I mean? Like, the enemy wants you to make those outlandish choices.
Well, I'm about to say, if you make that outlandish decision or choice of getting a contract killer, well, then you're going to live with the consequence of that. You're going to have to go to prison.
Yeah. So, I think you know, as we wrap up this episode, I think the big takeaway should be, you know, for us faith believers, I would give it to God and understand that you're not... This is not a flesh and blood battle.
Yeah.
This is a spiritual battle. The enemy is trying to tear apart Brittany and Eric again. That's what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
the bad part about it, or the part that kind of sucks, is that we do have free will, that Eric and Brittany can choose to completely allow this to rip apart their family, their marriage.
Or they can choose to keep it together.
Right. They can choose
to be stronger.
Exactly. And understand that this is a spiritual battle. And so now they need to come back together and be like, okay, we're going to make this, we're going to let this make us stronger. We're going to start praying more together. We're going to start praying with as a family, and understanding that we need to put more trust in God. And if you're not a faith believer, then you need to just, in my opinion, you need to just be like, okay, this is life trying to throw you a curveball, and you can either allow it to, let you or force you back into a relapse, or you can allow it to make you stronger. No, I will not accept this. Either way, whether you're faith-based or not, I will not accept
this. I'm going to say, and if you're not faith-based, one thing that you can do is to rely on heavy boundaries to keep you without relapsing.
Right.
Oh, but before we do close out, I do want to share this. I did have another verse that I think goes along with this. It makes a really good point. We've been talking about free will and choice and all that equaling our consequences and all that. Genesis 4:7 gives us really good advice. And that's Genesis 4:7. It says, "But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." So those choices, we have that choice. We can either do what is right or we can do what is wrong.
Right.
The choice is there. It's waiting for us, but we must rule over it. You must rule over it. The sin in my life, the choices in my life, the addiction in my life, they all desire to have me, but I must make the decision every day to rule over it.
Yeah, and I think the best way to do that, in my opinion, is to speak it out loud too. You know, the Bible says many times that our words have power, that there's so much power in you know, the tongue. And so I would literally say, you know, if I'm talking to Eric and Brittany, I'm literally telling them every morning when you wake up, I'd be like, this is not going to ruin me. This is not going to ruin my family. And I'm going to have a good day, regardless of the fact that I'm having to face this. I'm going to make that, you know, today. And the Bible does not say what day it is, so we're going to assume that it's every day. Today is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it.
Yeah.
You know, I will have joy regardless of the situation that I'm in. Yes, my choices equal consequences, you know. And so I'm having to face, my family now is having to face this all over again, and that sucks. But if I'm faith-based, I'm listening to the words of the Bible. Today is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, doesn't matter what's going on in my life. Today is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice. I'm going to have joy regardless.
Yeah.
And so
I like that.
I truly believe that Eric and Brittany are going to be fine. That this is going to be just another season, you know, and hopefully one of them, Brittany or Karen, finds a different job. You know, but if that doesn't happen, okay, this is just another roadblock in the road. If you're looking at it from, once again, if you're looking at it from a non-faith-based, eyes, this is just a roadblock in the road. If you're looking at it from what we believe, this is a spiritual battle that the enemy is trying to take you out. You know, he doesn't want he doesn't want two people coming together.
No.
Especially, you know, I mean, that's the most powerful thing about a marriage is there's two people. And if they're on the same page fighting this spiritual battle, he doesn't want that.
Nope.
You know, he wants them to be divided. You know, even if they're divided and they go back to being, you know, good Christians, but it split up the family, that's what he wants. He wants my family to fail. The enemy would like more, you know, would love for me and my wife to split up. He would love that because my wife believes in God and she's following God and I believe in God and I'm following God and we're trying to do kingdom work.
Because if you fail, you're not out there going church to church, leading worship.
Right.
Yeah. Possibly leading another to the Lord.
Yeah. Can I say, look, before we finish, I want to tell y'all that I had the absolute pleasure and honor of getting to witness a little girl giving her life to Christ during the Reckless Love revival this weekend.
Awesome.
That's awesome. It was literally over here. I was just kind of standing there, and I mean, I didn't have nothing to do with it except for a friend of mine was like, "Hey, this little girl wants to give her life to Christ. You know, will you pray for her?" And I was like, I just looked at her and said exactly what Kelly had already said. If you want to give your life to Christ, you believe Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and you've said it out loud, you're already there. You're saved. There's not a special prayer that we can pray. I said, however, we will say a prayer, and we're going to say it out loud. And so we said a prayer, and I got to hug her.
That's awesome.
And there's actually a picture of me praying over her.
That's awesome.
And it was absolutely amazing. It's the first time I had ever been a part of somebody giving their life to Christ that I knew about.
Right.
There's been people that have said, you know, hey, I just want you to know I gave my life to Christ while you were worshiping. You know, because the song that you were singing really touched me. But that was the first time I actually got to lay hands on somebody and who I knew right then and there had just given their life to God. So it was amazing. So ending on a high note.
So years ago, from 2019 to just last year, I was sharing my story all over the Southeast. And I'd been to several different places and have led several people to Christ through that, and as just a ministry leader of CR, I've had that opportunity so many times, and don't get me wrong, each time is very special. It touches my heart every single time, but the one that touched me the most came out of nowhere. October 2021, we're laying in bed one night, and Kinley, my oldest, starts asking questions.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Daddy, how do I do that?" And right there, October 2021, in the middle of the night, I was able to lay Kinley into prayer of salvation. And out of all the people that I've ever talked to or prayed with,
oh yeah, for sure.
When you are able to participate, when you're like, man, that's
yeah. Like I said, you know, Easter, you know,
man.
Not this past Easter, but it was on Easter that me and my oldest were baptized together. I mean, that's amazing when you get to experience that with your family.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm one of those that think we should all get dunked once a year just to, you know what I mean?
Like yearly bath and get the pollen off.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Let's all roll to the Jordan and just get dunked as a you know, yearly.
Well, you know, and I know we said that we were going to wrap this up, but we like to keep our listeners on their toes. Surprise, we're now going to listen to Karen and get her side of the story on all this. Karen, come on in.
I feel like that joke was just done.
It was.
And done much better by somebody at this table. Won't say who. So as we wrap up, we do want to say that we love you no matter what you're going through. If you're faith-based, know that God loves you. He has not forsaken you. This is not him testing you. This is a spiritual battle that you're having to go through. The enemy is testing you. If you're not faith-based, then just know that this is just life throwing you a curveball. That if you truly are recovered, if you've truly paid this price before, just know it's going to be okay as long as you make the right choices and do not relapse. Do not go back into that pit of addiction. And that's what we want. We don't want you going back into that pit of addiction.
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, here's the thing. We're a faith-based podcast, but at the end of it, we are a recovery podcast.
Yep.
I've talked with so many people who are so against Narcan. I'm like, why are you against Narcan? And they're like, well, it was made by a non-Christian company. I'm like, that doesn't matter.
Right.
Narcan keeps somebody alive long enough to get them into treatment, and then maybe I can talk to them and lead them into salvation.
Yep.
The key here is to get somebody sober out of that addiction. That's the key part.
Yep.
Then the rest is just an added bonus.
That's right.
The key here is we want you sober. We don't want a consequence to come in and derail you from all the momentum that you've been building over the years. Don't let it derail you. Keep on the good fight. Keep going.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Unashamed Recovery Podcast. We hope that you have found it helpful and encouraging. And if you're listening and still in the darkness of addiction, we hope that today's episode has been a lighthouse guiding you out of that pit and into the hope of sobriety and recovery.
For more recovery content, visit our brand new website, unashamedrecovery.com. There you will find addiction resources, new and old episodes of the show, plus sobriety and faith recovery themed blogs to take you deeper into your sobriety and recovery journeys. You can even donate to the show to help us reach more people still lost in the darkness of addiction.
Also, check out more amazing recovery podcasts over at Take 12 Recovery Radio Recovery Podcast Network. That link is in the show notes as well as under our partners page on the new website.
And that is all for this episode. Remember to stay sober and above all else to keep on 12th stepping as you stay
unashamed.
We love you.
See you guys.
See you guys. Peace.